You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Wow, yeah, we're back. Can you believe it? Brian Peller and Glenn Rhodes here once again for another Seminole softball wrap. Apologies on the long gap between episodes. I won't get into it all. I mentioned in the last one and gave you the heads up that Perry, our producer, was getting married, yada, yada, yada. He went out on the honeymoon. The whole nine yards. Congrats to him and his wife, Mary Grace. He's back, and he can actually work for us again and get things uploaded and put together. So here we are. I guess I should say congratulations, Gwen, if you have anything you'd like to offer for the happy couple on the same token, just a congrats, thank you, goodwill.
No, I share the same sentiment as you.
Okay, good, that'll work. That break does give us a whole lot of softball to talk about. We're going to try our best to kind of pinch it down. We did have some cancellations in there, one in Clearwater, the whole thing up in Oregon. Kind of a lot to cover, but lucky for you, it won't be Gwen doing it by herself this time. We are thrilled to be joined by Sydney Supley. She's a former pitcher, first baseman at Northwestern. She started in the Women's College World Series. She's a Big Ten champ. She's got a journalism degree from Northwestern. She's working on her master's from Syracuse, you said?
Yes. Yeah, currently working on it. A few more months to go.
Yeah, that automatically, those two degrees are in the process, make her infinitely more qualified and smarter to host this show than I am. She works for the ACC Network, Big Ten Plus, ESPN Plus, Softball America. I think you get it. She's super qualified, and she covered the FGCU tournament in Fort Myers this weekend where FSU was. Sydney, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I love talking softball, and after watching Florida State last weekend, I can't wait to dive into this.
Great. Is there anything, I guess, in your bio I missed? Any credentials you need to lay out there? I know you're a star, but anything else?
No, I think you were overly kind, so okay. I appreciate that.
All right, I'll recap kind of what we've seen, what we missed while we were out. The Clearwater weekend, I kind of mentioned 1-2 there, didn't get the fourth game against Tennessee that Sunday. Primetime game was canceled. They had the win over Stanford, the loss to UCLA where they had some chances, the big number in case I'm trying to jog some memories here for the listeners, and then Georgia, the blowout that never really had a chance that Saturday morning. They then hosted the Dugout Club Classic, sweeping doubleheaders against FIU, Charleston Southern, and Nichols. The Oregon tournament was next. Sorry, Gwen. I know this was supposed to be your thing. The whole thing there canceled. Was that weather? Yeah.
Well, tough. Yeah. I mean, I think they got every other team that was there, Maryland, Oregon, Washington, Mount St. Mary's, all got their games in, which makes me a little salty, but is what it is, unfortunately. Well, there was bad weather leading up to it, so I'm not surprised.
It doesn't really help that the game they replaced it with was the Jacksonville University Sunday loss, where you can only just kind of follow it on Twitter, and then you just kind of find out, like, hey, well, that sucked. So then they went down to FGCU for the Spring Break Classic, went 4-1 there, beat Purdue on Friday, lost to FGCU on Friday, then swept Purdue and Michigan on Saturday before beating FGCU Sunday. Lastly, as I try to get through them all, South Dakota State doubleheader yesterday, 11-5 and 8-0 on those wins. Two probably very different games, if I had to describe it. I know, Gwen, you and I were texting during it. And unfortunately, just the way the schedule works out, they play Alabama tonight. So you may get kind of a Bama. I'm not going to call it a preview, but we'll talk a little bit about kind of what we think will happen. And you get to listen to it tonight or tomorrow, like either as it's happening or after it already has happened. So apologies there. But it's a big week. ACC play this weekend with number 6 Duke. You got Texas next week. So there's certainly a lot going on. Gwen, I'll go to you first. In this whole thing, what really stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think just going back to Clearwater and looking at the beginning of the season, we've had pitching questions, and that's kind of been the constant theme throughout these last 3 weeks. And we obviously knew what the offense was, but I think what has been nice to see and what we've seen from Florida State in the past is like their bats. If there's an inning or two that's quiet and we're down by like 5 runs, the offense can make a big comeback or at least try for one. We saw that in Jacksonville, unfortunately, just came up a little bit short.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I mean, I know that the Clearwater weekend itself didn't kind of go, I think, like we hoped. We hoped it was a measuring stick, but that was good, right? It was a chance to kind of measure, and full disclosure, we did tape a post-Clearwater episode that never made its way out, but Gwen and I did talk about how we expected the following weekend to be a chance to regroup and a chance to show yourself at Oregon and kind of remeasure where you were. Obviously, they missed that. Cindy, anything stood out to you in this big run? I know you kind of saw them in Fort Myers.
Yeah, I mean, I think Glenn did a perfect job describing two of my biggest points. One, the fact that their offense is absolutely ridiculous. And I think the biggest reason to their success, which I didn't notice until I watched them play 5 games in a row, is how incredibly disciplined they are at the plate. And being a former pitcher, it is terrifying when you're seeing these women up to bat 1 through 9 and the people in their bench so easily take these balls. I mean, their hands aren't moving forward. It's not even like they're thinking about it. So as a pitcher, you're like, man, I have to bring it in the zone. And then they are so ready and so on time so often when you do bring in the zone. So it's a pitcher's nightmare. The best they can do is really try to get them off speed, which is what you see a little bit when they get into trouble. But for the most part of the season, their bats have been hot and have only stayed hot. And then the second part you talked about was their response. I think that is the biggest part of it all. I watched them play Purdue, who in both times they played them, Purdue came out swinging in the first inning. The first game, they put up 4 in the first inning. In the second game, they put up 6. And Florida State was so incredibly poised. I couldn't believe it. And they just came up and they started slowly chipping away. And next thing you knew is the second inning, and they were within 1 run. It was 6-5 against Purdue, and you could just feel that momentum build. So I think you have a team that is so confident that they can outscore you in runs. And you talk about their losses. I think it's important to note that in every single one of their games, they haven't scored fewer than 4 runs besides their loss to FGCU, which is the only time their bats have gotten cold. Other than that, their losses have been like 20-10, 14-10. So it's not because of the bats.
Yeah, they certainly, it's not a mystery what's going wrong so far in the games they've struggled and what's going right. I mean, scoring, they're 5th in the country, 8.1 runs a game, and ERA, they're 143rd. I guess, Sydney, at this point of the season, how well do you think this pitching staff understands who they are? I mean, you're about to start conference play. You're into the season now. How well do you know what you are? How much better can you develop as this goes along?
If you look at their numbers from a pitching staff, you have 4 pitchers who have all pitched relatively the same innings. It ranges from 16 innings all the way to 13. So to me, that shows me this is a team for the last how many weeks that's been just trying different answers, trying different formulas, trying to figure out what works. I think if you look at it specifically the last 2 weekends, you started to see 2 names emerge. That is Allison Royalty, who was a senior and she has the most wins on the team. And then you have Mimi Gooden, who's the true freshman. So both of them, where they stick out of my mind is because they have a sub-1 ERA. The other ones have a little bit of a higher one. But the thing is, you have to remember that the beginning of this season, they're so stacked in terms of their schedule. Now, they did have a few ranked wins that were obviously rained out at Clearwater. But this is a pitching staff that they're only going to get better, I believe, with their opportunities, because they have no choice but to learn from their mistakes. And the fact that they have a offense that is so scary, that should only fill them with confidence to start playing with different things, start playing with your movement, because you know you have a team who can hit behind you. And I think that you're going to see strides to improvement, but specifically you're going to see Gooden and Royalty really get the ball in big time matchups moving forward.
Man, we talked about that a bunch in terms of finding the right people. What have you seen that work? I guess maybe hasn't worked.
When they're getting into trouble, it's because of two things. One, when they're coming in the zone, I feel like they're just plating the ball too much. If you're going to throw the ball on the plate, which you definitely can, pitchers are told to do that so often, but you have to ensure that the ball is breaking in some way. It's got to be going north, south, east, west, and you're just seeing too many flat pitches, and that's when they're getting into trouble. Or when they start to nibble, it's just a little bit too big of misses. So for me, my two biggest thing, which they sound so routine in pitching, but it's so true. How can you get the hitters off balance and off plane? Those are your two biggest things. Take away the strikeout numbers. How can you get effective outs that are going to eliminate the damage? But my biggest takeaway, if they could just stop the bleeding on the bad innings, they will be fine. You see these teams against him being able to have a huge inning where once they get the momentum, they're getting a lot of runs. And if they could just find a way to lock down right there and walk away with 2-3 runs, their hitting is going to take care of it. It's the 6 spot and the 5 spot that worries me against better competition.
You mentioned a little bit about Mimi and Allison. What have you been seeing from also true freshman Ashton Danley that you think her and Mimi like go well together, how they complement each other and how they can move forward going into ACC play?
I think that's a great point. They have two different pitching styles, which really excite me because I think they can work well off of each other. But I think both of them, they have a confidence that I very much appreciated. And that I think is sometimes the hardest transition is you're coming out of high school and you're like, wow, I'm facing these really good hitters that I've watched play for years. But you have to remember that you were brought in by Florida State softball, who was a runner-up in the national championship series last year. They brought you on their team because they felt you were good enough right away. And I think those two are starting to embody it and get their feet under them. And I actually had a really great conversation with Ellie Cooper, who heads up a lot of the psychological stuff that their team faces. And she says other people have put up question marks, but this team is so bought in to each other. And the work that's being done internally hasn't shown yet on the field, but she was like telling me like, oh, just wait. So that gives me confidence that this team's chemistry and that their mindsets are in the right space. And then the sky's the limit when you know that. And now the team just has to execute on the field to the off the field work that they're doing.
Gwen, when you watch the team, what are you seeing out of the way they're using the pitchers? And what are you looking at and seeing what's working and what isn't?
Yeah, I think right now it's pretty solidified. I think that McKenna is really great in relief. That's where we've seen her kind of shine and settle down a little bit more. Earlier in the season, she was, you know, a little bit all over the place. Her ERA was a little bit more elevated than it is now. And I think coming in relief kind of takes that edge off of her, that pressure that was there at the beginning of the season. So we see her, and that's what we need, right? So it's like you have Ashton starting, you have Mimi starting, you have Allison starting, and they set up for a really great relieving role that McKenna can come into. And I think that's been one of the biggest bright spots of the pitching staff the last few outings.
Yeah, it's certainly gotten better. You know, I don't think you're ever going into a game like, here it is, this is the shutout night. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to have Kat on the in the circle every game. It's just it's not what you have on this team. But kind of like Sydney was mentioning, if you have the ability to find the outs, you have the ability to score the runs. So there's I guess is that really reassuring, Sydney, as a team? You know, you're going to score a lot, even if a pitching staff is struggling, trying to find it. And it's just not your day. You almost, do you feel more inclined to say like, hey, it's not my day, help me find someone else, or push it along?
I think you should always want to strive in to be better in the areas that you feel are your weakness. And if you're Florida State, obviously you've recognized that hitting is your strength, and that is great. And keep making that your strength. But if I am a pitcher on this staff, it's time to start challenging yourself and others of being like, we are capable of to be such a great team. Look at the foundation of our hitting. What ways can we be better? And I think, you know, Gwen, you brought up a great point that they're finding that McKenna is better in that closing situation. And as a pitching staff, it's all about learning what your role is, and then how do you get really good at it? Reed, I think, is somebody who they felt was going to be more of that starter for them in the beginning. But being a starter and being a closer is such a different mindset that I don't think people really understand sometimes that pressure, but they like feeling that comfort of having a lead most times when you come in to close. That's going to be somebody you want who's just going to come out there and fearlessly pound the zone, understand when a team's uncomfortable, and take full advantage of it. Whereas then you could use, you know, Gooden in some other areas, people who are really crafty in the beginning of the game, and they don't mind knowing that it's a 0-0 ball game. How could I go as long as I can and be as smart and, you know, really just knowledgeable about how I'm pitching these hitters for as long as I can before I know I have somebody like McKenna Reed who can come in and slam the door. So I think it's just understanding your role in the pitching staff, and they're starting to identify them, and then going all in on that role and how you prepare yourself the night before, but also when you walk into that game, of knowing if you're a starter, if you're a closer, and how to mentally stay in those positions.
I'm sure there's plenty in the fan base panicked, concerned. We're 24th. We're supposed to be top five. Where's Oklahoma City and second runner up? And we should be competing, but not reason to quit just yet. Plenty of time still to go, right? That seems to be the message so far. And it's hard not to start with that pitching staff, but there are a lot of really good stories in this lineup that I think aren't even what we kind of expected coming into the year. Gwen, I know you and I talked about, obviously, the lineup being the strength. It was obviously going to be the strength. But an unexpected spot. I mean, Jasoni Beachum leading your team in batting average, second on the team in home runs, and Amaya Ross right there, right behind her.
Yeah, like Amaya this weekend, like an absolute hitting clinic. And we saw that from her 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, in our last home tournament. I mean, her, Issa, Jasoni, like they just have been bashing the ball. And like, that's what you want. You didn't really expect that from maybe the two freshmen. And I think Hallie Wakeacer's come on a little bit too strongly. So I really like that those four kind of make up for maybe if Kaylee right now, it seems like she's in a slump right now. So if she's not batting the way that we expect her to, or we want her to, those four can come up when needed.
You got to see it yourself, Sydney. What did you see from this group? And I mean, obviously you talked specifically with Michaela.
I mean, one, I'm pumped about this Amaya Ross situation. I mean, she's now hitting 540. She had her first career grand slam just the other night. So for me, just to see these younger faces really stepping up to the plate. But there's also five players right now in the lineup who are hitting over 400, which is just unreal. And two of them being Edingfield and Harding, who also combined for 9 home runs. I mean, those are insane numbers. And I'm glad you brought up Hallie, because that is one of my girls who I grew up playing with. And I think she is one of the most underrated players on that team, because she is just a swing away from hitting a bomb at any point, the way she's so good at turning on those inside pitches. So I think she's also a scary person that they have in their lineup. But if you're a pitcher, it's like death's row. You can't take a hitter off right now. You mentioned that I was able to talk to Michaela Edingfield, and it's been a joy just following her career these last few seasons. I loved watching, you know, her really make her mark at the Women's College World Series, not only in how she played, she made the all-tournament team, but also in just the platform she's been able to build on her story. And my interview with her, it was really fun, because we actually had her doing kind of a makeup tutorial for Softball America, but it was also interviewing her during it. And for those of people who don't really know, she wears the most elaborate, like basically artwork on her eyes. And it takes forever. This girl spends like an hour doing her eyes just every game day, so people can enjoy it, so she can express herself. So that's commitment there. But really the message is so much bigger. I think people look at it and think, oh, it's just makeup. But for her as a kid, she was bullied so terribly. And she really started to look at basically like drag queens and was like, where do they get their confidence. And she became fascinated how a lot of them got their confidence from makeup. So I feel like this makeup was her armor and her finding her own confidence. And then it was really neat because she shared most recently, did she find that she could still carry that confidence within her even when the makeup was off. And I think that's where the special, you know, moment really happens for her. And I think other people are being inspired by it, that now they're putting on makeup to these younger girls, building the confidence, but it's really so then one day they can take the makeup off and still have the confidence and then just put makeup on for fun like she's doing.
I know Michaela is a lot for this team. She's obviously the big bat in the lineup. She leads the team with 8 home runs. She's the one who's driving in a lot of runs. But I guess what she means as a leader for this team is so apparent in watching this team. How did you kind of see that interacting? How did you see that working?
I mean, the catching position is, first of all, the hardest position, because if you're just the sole catcher who's catching all of the arms in the game like she's doing, they have great other catchers on their roster who I saw a few of them play and did a great job. But she has to be so elite in being able to catch 5 different arms right now. And that's a lot harder than I think people expect, because you also have to be catching these people in bullpens. You have to understand where their ball misses when it does, how their break does, how you can time a rise ball to blocking a changeup. There's so many different assets she does, and she makes it look so effortlessly that people don't even realize all the things she's doing. But besides physically being able to catch all the different arms, she also emotionally and mentally connects with each pitcher, which I think is where the real magic happens, because you have to speak to a pitcher so differently depending on who they are. And each pitcher is so unique. Some like that tough love. Some need you to be more encouraging, crack a joke, make him smile. And I think that's where she's so good at, is being a leader within that relationship with a pitcher and catcher. And she's working overtime right now because, you know, this pitching staff, she's a part of it, and she wants to see them succeed and to see them grow.
The other thing that really stands out looking at the roster, and it's one, Gwen, you've kind of asked for, it was Katie Dack still trying to find the role. She was in there a bit yesterday, kind of up and down this lineup, though. There's so many appearances, so many games played, stolen bases from up and down the roster. It feels like they're trying to play as many people as possible. What else is standing out in there? I know Annie Potter's got a lot of stolen bases working, and you're just kind of finding the people to play their roles.
Yeah, and I think the injury to Jahni Kerr isn't really helping all of that right now. Like, there's just, I feel like, a lot of unanswered questions in some areas. And like I said, Jahni, she's day to day right now with a knee injury. So, you know, Kennedy Harp is now filling that role for her. So another freshman, and we haven't really seen what Kennedy can fully do yet. Obviously it's only been a handful of games, but that's a question that there is now to answer. So it's like, you have these questions in Jahni's spot in center field and with her bat in the lineup. You have Katie Dack coming in and out of the lineup. You have Amaya Ross doing really great with the bat, but also not really that great at first base at sometimes. Like, and then you have these lineup changes when you get this big lead. You know, you have Angelie Bueno coming in at first base and taking over for Amaya a little bit. Just a lot of shifting and moving, and that's fine. We're still pretty early on in the season, but I think moving into ACC play, kind of want to solidify that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think as you head into ACC play, you do have the questions. It's unfortunate, like we talked about, you don't get the Oregon weekend to kind of measure yourself, but this is the week here to really do it. It's Alabama, Duke, Texas, going back to back here. Obviously, the Alabama and Texas being one game, kind of sample sizes with versus the weekend against Duke, but you really get 5 games to once again retest yourself before you head in there. The importance of this weekend as you get going, Gwen, what stands out to you?
I think just, you know, Alabama, I think, is going to be the biggest testing point to see how we move forward with Duke and even Texas. Obviously, Duke is kind of a different story because it's three games against the same team and the same pitching staff, but we haven't really faced elite pitching since Clearwater. So it's kind of, we saw how we did in Clearwater against Nigeria Kennedy and even Georgia's pitchers, even though it was a significant loss. But I think just seeing how we stack up against these pitchers with lower ERAs for our offense, obviously we know our offense is great, but how they can overcome, you know, being the underdog now, I guess, in these senses.
Sydney, what about you?
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying, and I'm just going to drive the point the other way. I'm excited to see how this pitching staff steps up, because now you are being challenged against some of the best hitters in the country. You have Alabama hitters. Bailey Dowling right now is hot for them. They're a 20-3 team who they lost the series to Florida, but they won the last game. So this team is coming in with a bit of momentum, and then you're facing Texas, who, you know, they just had a tough loss, but they've been down the country, and also the pitching staff. So if you're a pitching staff, you have to look at these next two games.
Can I get you to start with Texas? You dropped that at Texas. You said in Texas, so just, yeah.
And Texas, who is off to one of their best program starts in history, they just dropped a tough one, but they are elite all the way around, especially in their hitting. And same with Duke, who also has tough pitching and tough hitting. So if you're a pitching staff, I want them to like call a meeting together, rally around each other and saying, let's just try to be as resilient as we can. They know adversity is going to hit. They're going to give up a home run. They're going to give up runs, but how can they just try to eliminate that and just give their offense the best chance against these ranked teams? I'm really excited to see.
Yeah. And I think going back to what Sydney said earlier, now that the pitching staff kind of is forming an identity of like, these are our starters, roughly, like McKenna's coming in relief, like just relying on that and knowing that it's worked the past couple weeks, like sure, you dropped one game to FGCU, but as a pitching staff, you're kind of trying to form your identity and you're learning that a little bit more. I think relying, like Sydney said, just kind of relying on that and moving forward with that mindset.
Well, and you didn't, the game you dropped to FGCU wasn't like it was the pitching staff's fault. Right. You didn't lose 14-10, you lost 3-1. You know, and there's going to be games like that, unless you're Oklahoma, I guess. But even though they've lost since our podcast, so, you know, there's that. That's what
I was there for. That
we should have let off the show with that. Sydney was there to watch history. Oklahoma lost, but you know, I mean, no one just, you're not going to lose. Like, there's going to be games where the offense has a game like that, and you'd like it to not be it when you're hosting a super regional or a regional or playing in those, like, you know, you've got to win two games today to keep your season alive moments. But this is certainly a team that can still compete based off the lineup. Sydney, I guess when you get to conference play, how does that change the way, I guess, these teams kind of work? Because you're, at this point, you're mostly playing these tournaments where you're seeing a different team every day. You're seeing a different team, maybe game to game. When you get to where you're seeing the same team three times in a row, how does that shift the way you're rotating pitchers, the way you're calling games, the way you're moving players in and out of lineups?
You're going to see a lot more consistency. You know, we talked a lot about already on this podcast how there's been so many switches and changes defensively and in the lineup. Once you get into a series, it's one game a day. You are putting whatever you think your best nine are on the field every single day, and especially within the conference that they're in that has so many talented teams. I mean, I think the ACC collectively is only getting better at softball. You're going to want your best stuff moving forward, and I just think there's going to be fewer rotations. You're going to have your few people that are your go-to for a DP some game or a pinch hit, but you're going to see kind of, I would say, like around the same 13 for the series moving forward. And I think every game just gets heightened. And when you're playing in a series, it's such an interesting chess match that I really love as a pitcher, because then it becomes all about strategy. Your lineup doesn't necessarily change. Some people like to change to the lefty righty matchup. Florida State will tend to do that a bit. But for in terms of pitching, it's just honing in on what was your role. What is the role that you have that series and really buying into it? Because that might be starting a game here, coming in the middle, or coming in relief one of the other games. So it's just, it becomes such a science about one to put certain people on the mound and one to save a person or two.
Is there anything where you look at the conference and obviously you mentioned it's growing, it's getting better. Duke's currently kind of the lead dog. Clemson's in there. I guess, is there a panic in I know I, here I am as the fan, right? I am the one who just watches and goes, hey, look at that result. And Gwen, you got this text yesterday. But, you know, I look around and I'm like, this team doesn't feel OKC to me. It doesn't. It just feels like they're not there. Obviously, there's time. But I guess what is it that they need to find in these, you know, conference slate, the games that are here, the three straight where you're really pressurized and they know what's coming? Because we've seen where end of last year, when McKenna Reed started showing where, you know, this is kind of the pitch she has. It's the rise ball and everyone kind of knows it's there. There needs to be more. Like when people really figure you out on these weekends and a team like Florida State, you know, just needs to kind of score. What is it that they need to develop to really get to where you could sit here and say, hey, this is a team could and should host a super, could and should be in Oklahoma City type thing?
Well, first, I wanted to tell all the fans to take a deep breath because it is not about how you start. It is about how you finish. I preach that when you're a player, rankings, they don't matter. You see them and maybe it feels them. Honestly, if you're Florida State, I'd be like, yeah, doubt us. Like they've been the people who everyone's been chasing the last how many years. Now they can go into these games and being like, no one's expecting anything out of us. Let's prove them wrong and have this chip on your shoulder. But this team is talented. And the biggest thing that they have is they have experience, majority of that team, about playing on OKC, about making it to the national championship series. That experience is so gold because then in those big moments, you understand how to rise above it. You understand how to take a deep breath and put your best stuff out there. And I think the biggest thing that I just want to see from this team is I think they feel like they have it, but I want them to go out and just pitch fearlessly, defend fearlessly. Like I want to see all of their uniforms so dirty because they're just diving everywhere and every ball's mine. If you have a pitching staff that's not at where they want to be right now, is if you're an infielder, an outfielder, you need to take that personally and say every ball in my vicinity is an out. And I think if they can just buy into that kind of that dog mentality when they're on the field, that's when you're going to see the magic happen.
Yeah, I think going off a little bit about that, like we always hear coaches say and the players say, like, they're just playing Florida State softball. And it's kind of like, as a fan, you're like, what does that mean? Like, that's so vague. But I think that they know what that means. And if you pay attention to the program, you know, that is what Sydney said. Like, it's just playing fearlessly. It's playing free. It's having fun going out there and playing softball. It's not like what the outcome is life or death. It's just playing softball with people that you're friends with that you love. So I think just having that mindset really at the front of their minds going into conference play is hopefully going to, you know, release a little bit of tension or nerves that they have, if any.
And I think if you are a fan and as someone who's watching it and the pins and needles and pitcher maybe cover your ears, this is the fun way to do it, right? To be the team that you know is like, hey, you know what? We need five this inning. Maybe, you know, like maybe, like I'm not terribly concerned. Like, maybe I'm not like confident they're going to get five, but a team that can put up five is fun. Whereas a team, maybe you're kind of struggling to find one or two. Maybe it's a little more stressful to watch. You're like, oh God, it's 3-1. I'm not sure we have two more in us.
Yeah. I think when you have an explosive offensive team, that's so much fun to watch for anyone involved. I mean, I was watching them heading into the stadium being like, they could put up 20, they could put up 10, they could put up 9, who knows? And I think that's one thing that they've just embraced, the pass the bat mentality. I think you're seeing not one or two hitters trying to do it all. And I think they're all doing so well because they have confidence that if they don't get it done, the person behind them does. And that just allows you to go up and compete and not carry the weight of the world of, I have to get this home run or hit for my team. You're like, no, I have a whole lineup of teammates who can get it done. So then it frees you up.
Yeah. And I think a little bit too, just to add the pitching point of view, obviously I'm not the pitcher between the three of us, but I've heard, you know, the team talk about one pitch to the next, like just thinking about the pitch that you're about to throw. And I think having that mindset helps too. It's like, right now I need to worry about if this is a curveball or whatever, and not like what two batters from now, what I'm going to throw. So just having that step-by-step mentality, just like the hitters. And if I can't do it as Allison royalty, maybe Mimi can do it for me, or McKenna can have my back, things like that.
Mm-hmm. I guess one final question before I wrap us up here is the youth on this team, and we've kind of touched on it in each of the individual roles, Jasoni, East, Ashton, Mimi, down the list. It's four freshmen that we're seeing add not just some value, but a lot of leading value. Gwen, how, I guess, has that impressed you so far? And then obviously, Sydney, feel free to jump in anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I knew coming in that this class, and obviously the rankings don't lie either, that they were going to be impressive. And, you know, when you're in the beginning of the season, like, oh my God, Josie Muffley's gone. Who's going to be our shortstop? And you have a freshman in Issa, and then you have a transfer in Annie Potter, you could question and be like, yeah, but she's a freshman. And it's like, she's a freshman, but that's a good thing, it seems like. And then obviously Jasoni, we knew the caliber of player that she was going to be. And I think what I really like out of this group, obviously we have our two leading hitters and obviously Ashton and Mimi in the circle, but I really like that, you know, Angeli Bueno and Kennedy Harp are getting more time. Like they're getting, obviously Kennedy seemingly is starting now for Janai, but Angeli is always that first person off the bench if they need a pinch hitter or if they need, you know, substitutions because we're up or because we're down, things like that. And she's shined so far, honestly. Like she's batting 500. Of course, that's only in six at bats. She has three hits, but that's still impressive, I think, for a freshman who is getting limited at bats. So I think, you know, going into next season, if you want to look that way, I think Angeli is going to be really great defensively. She's shown that, and she has a really good bat to go with it.
And going off of that, I think it speaks to you have a good program when, as a fan and people watching, it's fun to speculate, be like, wow, watch these underclassmen stepping up to the plate, becoming leaders. But if you have a good culture, it doesn't matter. And the players internally don't look at each other of like, oh, they can only say that they're a senior. They can only say that because they're, you know, a freshman. These women are clearly empowered from the minute that they step on there, that they could be the leaders on their team. They could show that on the field and use it vocally. And I just give credit to the Florida State softball program because I think that's why you're seeing so much success from certain underclassmen is because they were given a voice right away and they were given a platform, and other people on their team respect them. The graduate players, the seniors, the juniors, they respect them. And that's huge. When you have a team where the ages are stripped away and you can just be one team.
Any final thoughts from either the two of you before I start buttoning this thing up? Any last questions, concerns, fears, excitements, joys, wonders of the world?
I think it's just exciting going into this next week. Like, yeah, it's going to be trying a little bit, and it can be a little scary if you're a fan, but it's still, I think I'm a glass half full type of person. It's really exciting that we get to play three ranked teams in a week and multiple times and really see what our team is like, what our pitching staff specifically is like, because we haven't gotten that since the first month of the season.
All five in Tallahassee.
Yep. That's even better too. Like you get three ranked teams at home if you're living in Tallahassee, so, and you get to sleep in your own bed if you're the team.
Was gonna say, if you're the three of us, you're spread across not just the country, the globe. Well, I guess the country, but yeah, I'm in the usual Florida, Gwen's in Washington, and Sydney joined, nice enough to join us from the Virgin Islands. So, not to keep you any longer, anything you had to add, Sydney?
Yeah, I would just say going off of, you know, what Gwen said, I'm also a half, you know, full of glass, whatever you want to say it. But if you're this team, you should just go into this looking at you have tremendous opportunity in front of you, not only to walk away with, you know, hopefully a lot of ranked wins, but two, it's the lessons. This is so important. You want to play as many of these games early as you can because you need to figure out as a team, how do you compare against the best of the best? And the only way you do that is by facing them. So then you can make those adjustments, understand what your strengths are, and build off of that to make a run for OKC. If I'm looking at their schedule, I want this gauntlet right now and not in a month and a half. So I think the timing's great for them. I think obviously their bats are hot. They're working on a few pieces. I'm thrilled to watch these next few games. And I just think for them, they're going to get wins. And then the other part are lessons. I don't consider them losses.
Sydney, thank you so much for joining us. If you loved Sydney and the information she gave us and all the expertise she was able to provide, support her work on all the places that I mentioned before, the ACC Network, ESPN Plus, and Softball America. You can also visit her website, sydneysoupley.com. She also is some nonprofit efforts here and helped build a softball field in her hometown. You said you're taking donations to keep the park up. So, you know, if anyone feels inclined to help, you know, these communities keep softball and keep the softball field running, you know, feel free, find her website again, sydneysoupley.com. I'll put it in the article if you're looking for it. But really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Sydney.
Yes, thank you, Folt. It was a blast talking softball with you. And I love to do it. And for anyone, whoever, parents, fans, young girls watching, if I can help you, support you in any way, please just visit me. It's my name on all platforms. So I'm happy to help. Love talking softball.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, Gwen, of course, as always. And appreciate you guys listening. Who knows when we're back, right? I mean, we'll at this rate, it could be tomorrow, it could be next week, but we'll be around as often as we can to talk softball. So appreciate it. Until then, thanks, guys.